Neil, are you there?
I'm here, Charles.
Okay, let me just turn this down. All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we have Neil Perch, a.k.a. Zion Train, on the line.
Greetings, good evening, as it is here. Good afternoon, as it is there.
Yeah, what time is it over there?
It's just at 7 p.m. almost, and I'm in Germany, sitting in Germany at the moment.
Okay.
In my studio in Cologne.
Okay. Well, Neil, you want to let the ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters over here in Binghamton know what you've been doing lately, new releases, because we talked 2 years ago.
Yeah, we talked a couple of years ago, and since then I've been working on a lot of new stuff. We've been touring a lot, and for the first time we went to Mexico as a band playing live.
Wow.
And then, we also went to Brazil for the first time, so that was quite a nice experience. And then we've been touring a lot in Europe, as we have every year for 15 years, so great, but nothing new there.
Right.
And we were in Japan recently. We played at the foot of Mount Fuji.
Oh, boy.
A festival that they call Asagiri Jam. But it's in the afternoon, so you can see the mountain in all her glory in the daylight. And that was a very fantastic experience. That was the third Zion Train tour of Japan. At the moment, we've been working on new recordings. We have an album to be released in September 2007, probably. It's provisionally entitled Live As One. And the recording sessions for that are currently happening round and about the studio in Cologne. So that's what we're most busy with. But also I've been working on my side project a lot since we last spoke. I've been working on the project I call Abassi All Stars.
Right, right.
Which is basically it's the same rhythm section that runs Zion Train, myself, and mainly the brass section, the Crispy Horns guys, Dave Hake and Sebastian Hartzman. But we make rhythms there in the sort of Jamaican tradition of making rhythms and then leaving them open for lots of different artists to voice and put their ideas on. And then the collective that comes from that collaboration is called the Abassi All Stars. So I've recently released the first long player from that project, which is entitled Showcase, from the Abassi All Stars.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And that's nice. It features vocalists from Jamaica, such as Luciano, L16, better known guys, and then a young lady from Yokohama called Sanai, a Japanese roots singer, UK singers such as Dub Dada and Kenny Knotts. So it's, you know, it's a varied bunch. And all this, the common theme is roots music. There's also Kigwa, who's a Rwandan singer who came to live in Europe after the troubles in Rwanda some years back, so he has a story to tell.
Oh, he does. He you know, he's on MySpace, and he gave me this long, long story about the problems over there, you know. Very interesting, man.
Well, it's nice that we have his experience, you know, mainly in Europe, but we have his experience through his voice on the record to sort of give us a bit of what happened over there, you know, enlighten our reality a bit with that. That's nice to see you hooking up on MySpace then, Charles. You must
yes.
be active there.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Good, good.
Yeah, man, enough people on that now, you know. Besides all of the creeps that come on there and these young ladies that seem to want to, or these organizations that want to spread their wares sexual-wise, I mean, I just keep my friends narrowed down.
Yeah.
You know, you look on some people, they got 10,000 friends, you know. You know.
It seems like a good way for artists and different sort of organizations and people to link up with you.
It really
is. Network in that way. It's a really good, constructive thing. Lots of good people communicating around the world on a cheap basis.
Really?
Which is what makes
really?
It possible, really, yeah. It's good. It's a bit like, you know, Skype, but with a little website thrown in.
Right.
Cheap communication.
Right. And there's enough people that's listening on the web. I just want to let you know that, Neil. I just got a call from Syracuse, and I got this guy from, there's a DJ and an MC in CeeLo, if you're listening out there, in St. Louis, Missouri.
Uh-huh.
So you have enough places that maybe some of these persons don't have your music, and you can let them know how they can get Zion Train music.
Well, you can get our music. There's first and foremost, to test out the music, I would suggest you go to my website, www.wobblyweb.com, as it sounds, but wobblyweb.com. First and foremost, there's free MP3 downloads of Zion Train Live, Zion Train Studio material, and some of the other artists on the Universal Egg and Deep Root labels, such as the Abassi All-Stars, Radical Dub Collective, Dub Dada, Love Grocer. There's free downloads to check all of that out. We also have a dub plate download section where for a small price people can download more exclusive bits and pieces. You get a pre-listen. And then there's a shop where you can secure shop through the shop. We're not a big organisation. When you secure shop through the shop, it's me, one, the producer of the music, who posts the CD to you. So it's nice and safe, but everything that we make is available. We do lots of vinyl, so for any DJs and sounds out there, we've got a lot of roots music on vinyl. All our vinyl is strictly limited edition, so it's generally gone a couple of months after the release, but we try and push that out. We're trying to reach more people in the States, to be honest with you, Charles, because we are entirely independent. It's difficult sometimes to have the means to stretch across the Atlantic and just let people know we exist, but we're trying to reach a few more people through the internet works.
Well, if I have anything to do with that, Neil, if I can help in any way, because I know, especially like you mentioned MySpace, there's enough DJs that are there now that would, I know they would love to get Zion Train music, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought about our last conversation we had 2 years ago, and so I had it in the back of my mind when you said about Neil Fraser that he got the idea from you. So I said, well, let me just put on some Mad Professor first, and then I'm going to ease into some Zion Train. And we're going to mention that again, that, you know, I love him. You know, he's been very successful over in England, but you came up with that idea. You want to let the listeners know about, and then about sound systems in general.
Well, the whole concept of Zion Train is Zion Train grows directly out of the UK sound system, where you have your own custom built PA, mm-hmm. and then inside the workings of the PA, you have ways of manipulating the sound system to actually play it, so you play the sound system like an instrument. Now, so the most people know this through an equalizer or something on a DJ mixer, but you know, UK dub sound systems, they're equalizers, they're manipulation equipment. It's much more like studio equipment. So the UK culture was always for the dub producers to be making new, fresh cuts going directly on the sound systems, and the sound systems would redub the dubs every week, you know, like Tubbies in Jamaica would voice different artists every week for the sounds. Well, in the UK, the different dub would come out every week from the same rhythm from a different producer, and the sounds would manipulate that, and that's where the UK dub sounds comes from. It comes from, like, the technology re-manipulating the music once it's recorded and mixed once. Now, what we decided to do with Zion Train was take that concept, marry it with the studio dub mixing, and put it on stage, because it's a musical art, and not many people would see it as a musical art. You know, a lot of people see it like DJing or being a technician in a studio. Well, it's a bit of those things, but it's also a musical art, like playing a violin is a musical art. So we took the mixing desk and multi-track material on stage, and made that the center of the show on stage. So taking that dub concept, studio dub concept, and the UK sound system concept onto the stage. And Zion Train play, for those who don't know, we play, I have a 16 or 24 channel mixer on stage with 8-track separate rhythm. Generally I run a sequencer and a laptop, with 8 tracks separately coming out of the sequencer and an effects rack, so like a mini studio, dub studio. Live musicians on the stage, including one or two vocalists, and generally a two-piece brass section, with their microphones all coming to my mixing desk. So the front of house PA gets a left-right, as if it's a DJ playing, and then we improvise live dub with the acoustic musicians and the singers playing free. They don't have a rehearsal, they don't have a set list, they just have me. I start a tune, they know what key it's in because they're skilled musicians, then they pick up and something happens. This is, it's sort of improvised ethic
wow.
on the day live, like jazz musicians sometimes use. But the point is that the middle, the dub is the center. The singer isn't the center, although the singer may be at the front of the stage, but acoustically, sonically, the dub is the center. The rhythm is the center. And that's
right.
What downtrend's all about. I know my professor does his dub show, and many, many people obviously now take a mixing desk on stage, but I've been doing that for many years, and the concept to take the multi-track on stage and make that the center of the show was my concept. A lot of guys like Professor Adrian Sherwood, they mixed bands into dub by mixing the front of house, you know, in the mixing desk in the hall, like in a conventional situation, which makes the music dubbed, but the mixer, the man doing it, is still not at the center. He's not in, doesn't have a spotlight on him. And to be, sadly, because most people's attention can only go in one direction at once, to make people understand the full process of dub music, you need to put the mixing desk and the effects in the middle, in some spotlights, because that's the engine. You know,
right, engine without that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and the thing, it comes out of sound system, because all of the people who are in the so-called UK dub movement now, and really for the last 15 years, have all come out of the UK sound system movement, which is very specifically UK roots, dub and steppers sound. It's not dancehall and the whole MC phenomenon and lots of dub plates with lots of guys shouting a lot on them.
Right.
It's much more musically based. It's a school where, so if someone may play 15 versions of a song, but each version would be a different dub take of the song, no vocals, you know, maybe one vocal version, 15 dub versions, not, you know, 18 artists all shouting the name of the sound system.
you may take out a key or add a keyboard, or add to an instrument, and take out an instrument, but the vocal is not there.
Exactly, the whole concentration is on, isn't this music beautiful and uplifting?
Right.
Not, you know, look how much money we've got to buy artists to shout our name.
Hey,
you know,
that's what I got into reggae for, Neil, is the
exactly.
beautiful, you know?
Exactly, the uplifting vibe of the music.
Yeah, yeah.
When people have heard a tune maybe 10 times on a nice sound system, an instrumental tune, and they're shouting at the selector to play it again because it's so brilliant. Now, that's what it's all about, really, you know. And the UK, the roots sound, the dub sound, it really had that for me. And all the guys like Afro and Amiga, Disciples, Conscious Sounds, Iration Steppers, ourselves, Zion Train, all of the guys who were the founders of the UK sound are all schooled musically in that sound system environment. So, you know, the two things travel hand in hand, really.
Wow.
You know, I know that vibe has spread quite worldwide since you have UK dub sound coming from all over the place, from Rio de Janeiro, from the States, from Japan, from all over Europe, you know. But it's schooled in the UK sound system, and then the producers taking that vibration back into their studios and remaking it. But, I've got my own custom sound system. I'm sitting almost on top of it right now as I speak to you. And
wow.
I'll be taking that out in the next couple of weeks. And it's a very important... If you're into music and you're into the production of music in the reggae world, the sound system has always been a very important tool for the producer. And not many people really highlight it, but all the great producers, they've all been working with or on a sound system. Like Tubby had Hometown Hi-Fi.
Right.
So he would work in a studio all day mixing or whatever hours he kept, I don't know. But then the weekend, he would take his music onto a PA in the street, and he'd watch people dance or not dance, maybe, to the music he'd just made. So for an active musician who's thinking about his thing, it's a constant food for thought. It's like a band who records all afternoon and has a show every night.
Right.
You see how the public responds to your music. You shape the music constantly with people, with the real vibrations of real people. And I think sound system and reggae production has always been linked, really, because of that grounding, you know, that foundational fact, you know.
I think it's an excellent explanation that you've given people, because, you know, so many people, when you mention that word sound system, they really don't know what that all entails or the history of it, you know. But like I tell them, you have to go back to Jamaica. You know, that's where it's, cause, and then if you've ever been there, you've seen on a night when people just, you know, they don't have a lot of money. They get together and they sure have that sound, though.
Exactly. They have the sound, and that's it. That's the, you know, that's the icing on their cake, because life is hard in those places also. So, you know, when people need the music for upliftment, then it really needs to be uplifting, and, you know, no sort of false and negative stuff. I think a lot of the concepts, such as sound, as the word sound system and the word dub, they're taken and they're commercialized and they're marketed.
You're right, Neil. You're right.
You know, it produces some cheap alternatives, and sadly, most folk don't have time to choose their music. You know, they don't really have the leisure in their lives to investigate the world of music a lot, and they take what's thrust in their face.
And
sadly, that's the most commercialized, watered-down version of everything. Whatever you're into, if you're not looking very hard, you're going to get the weakest version of it, you know. And I think that's the abuse of those terms in reggae music. It puts people off quite
well,
a lot.
Well, that's why it's a labor of love for me, and that's why I think this needs to be heard. It's not like the payola scene. Like, if you go to a big city like New York City, I remember, Neil, how guys had to pay to certain DJs to get the music on the air.
I'm sure
if you go to New York, you're not going to hear Zion Train like you would hear it at this College station. You're going to hear the commercial stuff, you know, like you say, the dance hall, you know. I'm not going to mention the names, but you know,
whoever's paying, you know,
yes indeed. So I can pick and choose, and the fact that this is still one of the few free format radio stations that's left, you know, I mean, thank Jah for allowing me to have, it's a privilege, Neil, for
it's
me to.
It's a powerful thing, and music should always lead the way. You know, that
indeed.
That should be the bottom line.
Indeed, you know, and it's so many great people that I've met in the music, and they're striving to do positive things with the music, to connect with the world with positive messages, such as yourself. I mean, listening to some of those live sets that you do, and I'm hearing Malara, who I understand is not, she's not with the group anymore, right?
Not since the end of last year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And hearing her urging the audience on, man, and you know, but just love, man. And
exactly, love and positivity, because, you know, what we work in a different way. You see, a show, a concert, or a dance, or whatever you might call it, it's an uplifting experience that we're excited about as well. It is our job.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're blessed and privileged to have this job that we walk away from invigorated and energized and uplifted by the interaction with a positive audience. So that's a fantastic way to live your life. And if then you can't maximize that experience, to me, you're absolutely missing out on great potential, you know.
Indeed.
And that's it. It's a sort of positive feedback experience between performers and the audience, and that's hopefully what makes it special for everybody. And that's a bit why we do the improvised music, to be honest, because you know, to be frank, you can make a big mistake, but you can also reach places that you never imagined were possible. But if you set yourself boundaries by rehearsing and saying, well, this is a song, it starts here, it ends there, that's the way we do it, no change, then you've set boundaries, and you know, maybe they're safe, so you're less likely to make mistakes, but you're also less likely to reach beyond yourself and achieve something that you didn't think was possible.
Yeah, man. You're hitting it right on the head, man. Neil, I think this is turning out to be another one of those great interviews, and if I know there's the people that are listening, but for those that haven't heard it, they will hear this interview, man. And you know what I have queued up is when we get off to finish talking, I'm going to put on that Abassi All Stars. And
fantastic. I'm glad it arrived safely with you in Binghamton.
Oh, yeah. It arrived safely, man. And you know, I sent you a thing on the Overtakers. I don't know if you got it on SendSpace. Did you get that?
Yeah, I've got that, yes.
Okay,
yeah.
When you have a chance, Neil, you got to listen to that.
Yeah, I'll have a listen to it, definitely. I'm always like to be pointed in good direction.
Yeah, man, you know, because it's like the roots, man, mental music, when you know, you hear these, you hear that, just simple instruments, just a rhythm box. I wonder how that would sound. Oh, that's a thought, Neil. you know, the rhythm box or the rumba box that they use with the mental players use. Uh-huh. How would that sound, you know, in your studio?
Well, anything can work.
Anything can work, man.
That's my approach. Well, I recently met a guy who's a cuíca specialist, the Brazilian percussion instrument, while I was in Brazil, and I'm going to try him as a solo instrumentalist because, you know, I believe that sound is fantastic.
So, oh, man. You know,
musically speaking, I'm into experimenting with anything because it's all music. It all starts as one vibration. You know, whatever colors people want to paint it after then, that's about people's interpretation. But for me, anything is possible with music. So it's nice to try anything.
Well, let me see what else. I know there's probably many questions I have, and then, you know, when you get to it, you can't think of those questions. But off the top of the head, I know what I wanted to ask about Eastern. You've been going to Eastern Europe for quite a while.
We've been going to Eastern Europe for a long while. We've been touring in Poland for 10 years now. Been in Russia. Been in Estonia. Been a lot in the former Yugoslav states, all of them, but mainly Croatia. Spent most time in Croatia, and Czech Republic. We've been spent a lot of time in Slovakia, a little bit. So all of the sort of former Eastern Bloc countries, and of course East Germany, which is now just Germany, we've worked a lot in as well. So it's cool, you know. I mean, it's different now. Those places now, every time I go back, they become more like Western Europe. So same high streets, same shops, same sorts of people doing the same sorts of things, which in a way is nice because people have the opportunity at a bit of Western living, a bit more commercialism and stuff. But it's also a shame because those places have lost, they all had a specific special flavor before.
Right,
and now
right.
They've lost that character a little. So.
Well, it's like Japan. You know, yeah. It's like I have a friend that's been living there like 15 years, and he talks about when they start accepting all of the things American, you know. I mean, even they didn't even drink milk. They drink milk now. You know,
yeah,
it's like
yeah.
a lot of the things that they've picked, you know, that some of them, they are negative, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And it's difficult. It'd be lovely to be able to go and sort of forewarn people about cultural changes and say, well, no, you don't want that bit. all of that bit's nice, but don't take McDonald's for good sake.
True.
It's difficult to, you know, it's difficult to inform people because everyone has the right to the equivalent experience, don't they? So, I love the energy you get in Eastern Europe. There isn't much music business, or historically there was always less music business than the rest of the world. So less bands went because there was less money, basically, and that just leaves an energy where people are sort of excited that you bothered to come. Which in London or Paris or somewhere where there's all sorts of bands every single night of the week, sometimes that energy's missing, the excitement's missing, and that's sometimes difficult, you know, for bands. If you've been travelling and you're tired, it's nice to be lifted up by the audience. In Eastern Europe, the audience is always uplifting. They always give that thank you for being here to entertain us feeling sort of before you've started, whether you're on form or off form. And that is a very, very strong and beautiful thing. So when a concert is successful, it can be a really uplifting experience for everyone involved because basically the people are really ready for it. Whereas in other places, they might be a bit, you might have to wake them up.
Well, I think you would have to wake them up here. But I'd like you to come here. Neil, I'm just imagining now. Zion Train at the Anderson Center in Binghamton University. Wow.
Well, it would be fantastic to be able to be there, Charles. I absolutely guarantee that we all think that in Zion Train. We're trying to get things worked out for the States to come and play live for a while, but again, as you understand, I'm sure without the support of any large companies, it's difficult to put it together. We want to put it together without the support of large companies. That's precisely what we want to do, but it just means it takes time and effort. So hopefully one day we'll be there.
Well, you know, Bamba is trying to get over here, James Bamba. Listen, man, if I can get the people that I know that are doing good, positive works that need to be heard on this side, I'll do my best to help to get you're here, man. So if any way I can help, any connections that I might have, I would love it. I would love it, Neil.
Well, I'll keep you up to date with our plans, and we can see if anything can work. Obviously, we appreciate all the help we can get. We always appreciate it, definitely.
And I want to just say I thank you for calling, and listeners out there, support Zion Train, because they are very positive, and they do positive works and spread positive messages worldwide.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you for inviting me to be on the show. You keep up your positive works, and hopefully we'll be meeting in person before too long.
Thank you, Neil, and we're going to go out with, I don't even know, I just know Zion Train, but then I'm going to feature some of Bossy All-Stars.
Fantastic. Thank you, Charles. You have a good evening.
You too. Bless. Yes, Binghamton, hope you enjoyed that, and here's some Zion Train production right here. Binghamton, here comes Bossy All-Stars. I want to thank Neil Perch from Zion Train, calling from Cologne in Germany. Check it. Brother Earl 16 Daily.
And don't take us for a ride. Instead of fighting for peace, here comes another invasion. Well, all the money that they spend just building their nuclear weapons, yeah, add insult to injury, deploying more military, yeah. And they blame it on religion, all of this senseless mutilation. And because of poverty, nation. The world is crying for peace.